Today's program is brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the main course on heritageradionetwork.org. I am Alexis McLaughlin, here as always with your favorite, Philip Gilmore.
Good morning.
Oh, you're so chipper this morning.
Yeah, I'm so chipper.
We are about to take a little trip down memory lane today.
Ooh. Philip, when?
Do you remember? Can you recall June 2nd?
Yes, I do. That was our little red event that we went to.
Yeah. So we went to this really, really awesome event called the Red Supper. It was hosted by Anthony Bourdain and Mario Batali. And it's a benefit dinner that was bringing awareness and raising funds for HIV and AIDS research. And the organization itself has been around for a while. I think it was started by Bono.
Yeah. And their website starts off with saying that only 40% of people living with HIV have access to life-saving medicine. So I think their main focus is not only research, but also providing medicine to people in third world countries, especially Africa, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go get them, guys. No, it's a great, great, great foundation. It's really cool.
Yeah, they seem to be doing pretty broad-reaching activism for the cause.
And they have great swag bags.
Yeah.
An LED light, a portable phone charger, all with the red logo on it.
Everything red. So it was really cool. The event, was set up so there were teams of chefs and they were cooking together for an unbelievably huge crowd.
All from different cities and different cuisines, matched them up.
Yeah, so the chefs were cooking in pairs. And they were, everything had a red theme to it. I know there was a lot of red peppers and
beets
and some red
blood.
Beverages.
Blood.
I don't think that. No, I don't remember.
Blood. Okay,
blood.
Cool.
Maybe that was after.
That was later that night. Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. And we got to talk to a lot of really awesome chefs that have all come together, which is kind of amazing. They really were from all over the U.S.
Yeah. Washington, L.A. Yeah. The South.
So we talked with first Nancy Silverton.
Iconic Nancy Silverton.
That was really awesome.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to meet her in person because she's been such a huge player on the scene since the 80s. I think she started her first bakery in LA. I think La Brea was her first operation. I was looking it up today. La Brea is one of the largest bread distributors in the U.S.
Yeah, they're huge.
Currently.
Yeah.
And they distribute to Ireland and the U.K.
Yeah.
It's a giant company now. But she kind of introduced artisanal bread, sourdough, all that stuff, desserts. And she's still in L.A., has a slew of restaurants with Batali.
Now, you said you never saw my body language react to a human being the way I reacted to her. Why is that?
Phil is one of the most warm and ingratiating people you could ever meet. Anyone who meets him is just this, gravitational force to him. And you tend to be yourself really warm. Phil actually will feed you at his restaurant. He'll pick food up off your plate and put it into your mouth. And it's just, creating his moment. And so we're at the event and it's super loud. And Nancy Silverton's talking to us, and she just has this gaze for Phil, and with every word, inches a little bit closer, and until You were shying away a little bit. I was surprised. Well, you were backing down. I've never seen anyone dominate your personal space that way.
Yeah, she's a very confident human being.
Yeah. Well, it was great.
Let's listen to the Nancy Silverton interview.
Yeah.
Great.
Who are you wearing? Who makes this apron, ma'am? We're on the red carpet. Who makes this apron? Who are you wearing tonight?
This apron is made by a company from Japan.
Uh-huh.
It's called Arts and Science.
I'm glad I asked it.
And I love it because I love the quality of the linen.
Yeah.
But I love the length. I love the length, sure.
Ooh, it is nice, actually. Yeah,
it's really nice.
I ask a joke today, but I really do like your apron.
Thank you.
So let's see. What questions can we ask you? So are you mostly a baker? That's what you started? You do a lot of baking? Is that right?
No, I don't do any baking anymore.
You don't do any baking anymore? No?
No,
what do you primarily
do now? So I am a restaurant owner, as I said. So I have three restaurants that I oversee in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Osteria Mozza, Pizzeria Mozza, and Kies Baca.
Awesome.
I have a Pizzeria Mozza in Newport Beach, and a Pizzeria Mozza and an Osteria Mozza in Singapore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
How's Singapore?
Right. I love it.
Wow.
And it's just so fantastic there.
There's such a great food scene there right now.
Just booming. So what do I do? How do I spend my time? Well, I watch over these restaurants. I nurture the people that work for me. And then at the Osteria,
mm-hmm.
there's a large marble counter, mm-hmm. bar, makeshift kitchen, and that's where I work on the nights that I work, which is 5 nights a week. I'm mm-hmm. off. Don't come see me Thursday night or Sunday night because I won't be there, and then when I'm out of town.
Yeah.
But there I work with 2 co-workers,
mm-hmm.
and together the 3 of us are responsible for everything that's cold that comes out of the kitchen, and most of it has to do with mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, if you were listening, the restaurant's name is Mozza.
Nice. I love it. You make your own mozzarella, obviously.
You know, we don't make our own mozzarella,
really?
Interestingly enough, because there are people out there that do it better than
are you
I can do.
From Italy, or?
I get some from Italy. I get bufala, and I get burrata from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also get burrata locally made in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm obsessed with burrata.
Yeah, it's good. I'm serving it tonight, actually.
Are you really? Yay.
Yeah.
What are you serving tonight?
So, I don't know. Have you talked to anybody that's doing the dinner yet? Do you understand how it's
I was
done?
Here last year, so
oh, okay. So maybe was it similar that each station has 2 chefs?
Yep.
And the 2 of us are responsible for a 3-course meal. And we are feeding 125 people. Tom Douglas and I, who is downstairs buying a vegetarian option for our guests.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's
ironic. Because he's doing short ribs. But we were also given a guideline of what they wanted us to make. So the first course needed to be, we needed to use red peppers. And so I'm doing a olive oil braised tuna that's stuffed into the pepper with anchovies and a baby celery salad. So that's my usage of the peppers.
What kind of pepper are you using?
They're baby red bell peppers. And then for my second, and we're serving everything family style. My second course is burrata. It's wrapped in speck with English peas and sugar snaps and a showering of Reggiano Parmigiano. And that we were asked to use cheese, and then Tom is doing short ribs.
Wow, awesome.
So there'll be a similar theme, what everybody's eating, but prepared differently.
Awesome.
Nancy, where are you from originally?
Los Angeles.
Are you eating? You see more East Coast than you do West Coast.
I know, you do.
Whatever.
Los Angeles.
Sort of Hollywood area.
Yeah.
I lived here for 1 year. Well, that makes you a New Yorker.
Do you by any chance remember a restaurant called Cafe Malibu in the early 90s on the corner of Canaan Dune and PCH?
Yes.
I actually worked there for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
that.
Yep.
You got to call me there in 1993 or 94. I made your coffee there.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah. So
I love Kies Baca and Osteria Mozza. I work for Heritage Foods USA, so we sell you guys pork every time we're in LA.
So is there a connection between Heritage Foods and Heritage Radio?
Heritage Foods started the radio station, and then it spun off into a nonprofit from there.
Because when I first started seeing those emails come through about the radio, I thought I was receiving emails from Heritage. And then I thought, are they connected? And I thought, no, they couldn't have been.
Yeah, we're big on ambiguous branding.
Well, I certainly love being able to use Heritage.
Well, thank you for keeping us around. I guess just one last question. You mentioned nurturing people as part of your job and what you do. I know managing is not something that comes naturally to all chefs. Is that a part of the job that you enjoy?
I think that might be. Well, you know what? It's such an important part. And so when you ask, does it come naturally? Probably not. And that's why I think that a properly managed kitchen is definitely a key to success. So I take it very seriously.
Thank you very much for chatting with us.
So that was neat, Nancy Silverton. Yeah. And who do we interview next? I think we interviewed Frank and Frank.
Frank and Frank, the Franks.
So from Frankie's 457 and blah, blah, blah. And they have their own catering company now. They have their own olive oil. Also great guys. And both good-looking masculine men. Yeah.
You were flirting.
Yeah, I was? Are you kidding? The guy with the Frank Sinatra blue eyes was... You were flirting with him. Well, you guys were both flirting. He was kind of cute.
Yeah. It's hard not to get lost in those blue eyes.
Yeah, they were super neat. And then we just... which one did we run into? We ran into Frank Castronova. Castronovo. Sorry about that. At the lobster event the other night at Mark Forgione, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was neat to see him. Yeah.
We need to get invited to events more often.
Yeah, I know.
We did great at them.
We need to go eat at Frankie's 457.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm working down there now.
Are you?
Yeah. I just was down at a record store touring the neighborhood and walked out and like right
next to me.
Carroll
Gardens?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is where it is. I've never been.
Awesome. Have you been to Prime Meats?
I have been to Prime Meats.
Prime Meats is really good, too. That's another one of the restaurants. They everything they do is gold, so... So, yeah, let's listen to the conversation with Frank and Frank.
can you tell the listeners who these guys you are, who each other are? Who's standing in front of you? No.
Frank Castronovo, Frank Falsinelli,
nice.
Frankie Spuntino in Brooklyn and Manhattan.
Yep.
We also have Prime Eats and Cafe Peddler.
Awesome.
And an olive oil company.
What's an olive oil company?
The olive oil company, we have a Frankie's olive oil, and we just launched a new olive oil called Green Gold.
Awesome.
At 365 Whole Foods stores.
And where's the olives from?
The olives are from Sicily.
Oh, cool.
From a town called Partana, which is right near Castel Vetrano.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's a really good olive oil.
How long have you been involved with this charity?
We've been supporting it for as long as it's been around.
Oh, nice.
But this is actually our first event that we've done.
Oh, amazing, amazing. View's not so bad in New Jersey from here.
It's gorgeous.
Jersey's always good to look at.
The river. What are you guys cooking tonight?
We got three courses. We're doing a red pepper ragu with the use of the pepper that they asked us to use, the red pepper. Serving it with a little ricotta cheese. It's kind of like a caponata, but mostly peppers.
Steak pizzaiole. Actually, it's a short rib pizzaiole with our crisp Bianco tomatoes, California.
And then we're using Parmesan cheese with polenta and a little guanciale for the middle course.
Nice.
So basically, our menu consists of what might have been on one plate 10 years ago, and we just broke it apart into three nice dishes. Very clean and delicious.
Awesome.
And we're very excited to be here. We're very happy that they invited us this year. And we want to kill 86 AIDS. We want to 86 it.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Are you guys originally from New York?
Yes. One of the few native New Yorkers.
Where did you guys grow up?
Queens.
Both of you?
Yes.
All you know each other?
going on 40 years.
Wow.
How old does that make you?
63.
That makes us baby carriage friends.
You went to graduate school 40 years ago.
It means our parents are pushing us down the street in baby carriages. We're actually my parents and our grandparents are all Brooklyn natives, and they made the big move to Queens back in the 60s, 50s, and so that's where we grew up.
So I actually own three restaurants myself in Brooklyn, so I wanted to ask you,
which
is a Brooklyn restaurant now, Momo Sushi Shack, Moku, and Hi Hello. I think I've met you before.
We went out Roberta's, we ate again at your spot.
Yeah, exactly.
How's it going?
What do you guys think, especially in Brooklyn, what do you guys think about this whole no tipping thing?
I don't know, man. We're waiting to see how it pans out. I think that in some situations it works really well. Both Frank and I are very accustomed to going to a restaurant like our favorite sushi restaurant, Sushi Yasuda.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
But it's a completely different setup. You know, it's like mostly sushi chef behind the sushi counter, and then you have a few servers on the outside. So it works. But I don't know how it's going to work in a conventional restaurant, and I don't know how it's going to work with restaurants that don't have high price points. Like,
yeah.
Ours is a very, like...
You have to be consistently busy. So, like, if your restaurant, say, just for numbers' sake, say if your restaurant does a consistent number every night, then you can do your hourly like that, but and do no tipping. But if you have a fluctuation, it's a human resource nightmare.
Well, you know what? Also, too, I've been in the back of the house some, but mostly I've been in the front of the house, and I think it's like, you know, I kind of treat it as a craft, and also too, I think the service will suffer. You know, like I my first restaurant I opened was opened on tips, and except that I fucking hustled, like, you know, kissing people's ass, and I love it's like, you know, you think the service will suffer if somebody knows they're going to make 25.
It takes the incentive out.
Yeah.
It takes the incentive out. I don't know. I mean, in some cases, like I said, Yasuda, it works really well. It's been working really well. But it's a different mentality. Like, the staff has a different mentality. They're mostly Japanese people.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to work. We're not moving on it. We're going to, like, watch and see how it affects most of the restaurants. And then we're going to make a decision on how it's going to... Yeah. I'm not going to be the first one to jump on that. I'm definitely not going to be the first one to jump on that one.
Lastly, do you guys believe in aliens? What do you think about aliens?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yes.
1,000%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Duh. Right.
Yeah.
Aliens?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Exactly.
Did you hear that Elon Musk said that there's a 1 in a billion chance that we're not living in some superior life forms reality?
I think about that all the time. I think we're like a millisecond in somebody else's real world, real time zone.
We're not living in a geranium.
Yeah, but he's taking pages out of Stephen Hawking's book. So.
Yeah, of course.
Stephen Hawking has been saying this shit for years.
Yeah.
Is that what you do on your spare time?
Stephen Hawking. I listen to it. It's a lot easier.
Fair enough. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you guys.
Pleasure.
Good to see you.
That was great. The Franks are really awesome. Good way to throw in your favorite question at the end, aliens.
Yeah, of course. You got to ask the people.
that was a great response, too.
Who would we talk to next?
Next, we went downstairs and we dropped by to see Kristen Kish. And she was partnered up with Vinny Totolo that came out and talked to us, too.
Yeah, they were awesome.
I don't really watch Top Chef. I know you watch Top Chef and those kind of shows.
You know what? I think that season 10, the one she won, was the last season I saw.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I've seen her in, like, everywhere since. She was on the cover of Cherry Bomb, the magazine put out by the ladies that do the radio show mm-hmm. the same name. She's works with our friends over at Namiku, the immersion circulator company.
Yeah.
She's kind of everywhere. Vinny Totolo, he's everywhere too. He was telling us about, he has that new, deal with Lexus.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. It's super cool.
When did that happen? Chefs getting sponsorships like athletes.
I have no idea.
Well, he was stoked on it. They were really interesting. So, I don't know. Let's hear from Kristen Kish and Vinny Totolo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you mind introducing yourselves for the listeners?
Sure. I'm Kristen Kish. I technically don't live anywhere, and I cook all over the world.
Fantastic.
Are you the homeless chef that I've heard so much about?
I recently made a big life change and sold my condo, and I was never there in Boston anyhow, and I just travel around and have a great time.
I was just talking to the two Franks, and that's what I'd like to do. I own three restaurants. I'd like to sell everything and then just get like a fishing pole and an expensive tent and then just like walk along a coast, like, you know, like some sort of like weird hippie Moses fisherman guy.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I can cook anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So I have a job no matter what city I'm in.
You know what they call that? You know, it's called a journeyman, because it's something that you're so good at your craft. It's like a beyond a master. You're so good at your craft, you can travel something. You're a journeyman.
I like, okay, journeywoman.
A journeyman with a Y. No, M-Y-N. Like the woman, you know, the feminist women spelling. It's journeymen with a Y.
Got it.
So where are you traveling to?
So I was most recently in Barcelona. I'm bouncing, you know, to and from New York quite a bit for other projects. I leave for London and Greece in a few weeks.
Wow.
And then who knows? So I basically, you know, if I come up to a week where it remains empty or a few days and there's no job, then I just go somewhere else.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
So Iceland's... Iceland. I'm doing Iceland in August.
Have you been to Iceland yet? No. It is the best. Oh my God! Well, there's the hot dog place that you have to go to, but there's
hot
a place.
Dogs.
No, they're known.
Icelandic hot dog.
Icelandic hot dog. They're
it's
known
a thing.
For
it.
There's
really?
This one spot, and every president's been there. But it's actually one of my restaurants. I actually recreated it, so it's basically a homemade lamb hot dog with a caper remoulade, ketchup, brown mustard, raw onions, and fried shallots.
Oh shit.
And it's so good.
I'll eat it.
If you're in Reykjavik, it'd be impossible that you wouldn't come across it.
Okay.
But this is very important. I'm going to maybe write this down for you. There's a place called Sea Griffin, which is the sea robin. And it's a guy who's had a fish stand there for many years, and now it's like just kind of like a grilled fish place. But they have a lobster bisque there that might be the best thing I've ever tried in my entire life. Like, I read about it.
That's high praise.
No, so I read about
my
it.
My expectations are
no,
right
I
up
No, I read
here.
About it in the New York Times like 10 years ago, and then I'm there, and I'm like, oh, that lobster bisque, and I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know I'd go there three times a day and eat it over and over and over again.
I will do it. Yeah. I'm literally going to take a backpack and a tent. I'm going to buy my flight, and then no hotel. I'm not going to book any hotels. I'm going to land and figure it out.
You can literally go to somebody's door and just knock on the door and be like, hey, can I hang out with you?
Yeah.
They're like the most approachable people.
That's what I'm doing.
You should check out their sacred fairy sites. They believe that fairies exist. Yeah, and there's actually places that are sacred sites that the government's not allowed to build on. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I like fairies.
Yeah,
as long as they're cute, I like fairies.
What are you guys making?
So Vinny we're doing a first course of a beet salad. Beet salad, right?
Vinny,
come here. Come in.
Come on over here.
Yeah, what are we making?
What are we making? Hi, I'm Vinny.
Hi, nice to meet you. Can you tell everybody who you are?
Vinny Ditolo.
Yeah.
Hi. What else?
Are you homeless? Are you homeless like her?
I am homeless.
Really?
Are you?
No.
Oh, damn it.
I was.
Where's your home?
I was homeless.
Where's
a long
home
time ago. Los Angeles.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are we cooking?
We're making a beet Greek salad tonight. That's from John and Vinny's. And we're also doing polenta bolognese, which is also from John and Vinny's. Yeah.
And we have head-on prawns with a like a lobster saffron uni sauce, and potato and leek puree, fresh sorrel.
What kind of prawns are you using? Do you know?
Whatever they got me.
Whatever the sponsor was. Yeah, awesome.
I don't know that.
We can edit that out. David, edit that out.
Prawns.com. Yes.
They're delicious and they look gorgeous.
We got them on Amazon.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever worked together? Did you know each other before the event,
no,
or was it a random hookup?
Yes. We just met each other.
I knew of him.
Yeah, we knew of each other.
Yeah,
I knew
but
of her.
We've never actually met in person, so it's fun.
First impressions, care comment?
No. Yeah, he's cool.
I love
him. He's cool.
We had talked on the phone before we came.
Yeah.
The love was already there.
Yeah, we're best friends already.
You're saying that because he has a home.
I know. Can I stay with you?
Yes, you can. Yes. You're more than welcome to come in
Thank
LA
you.
And stay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Cool.
Awesome.
What else?
That's it? Do you guys believe in aliens?
Do I believe in aliens? There's something out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I watched The Martian with Matt Damon, and it made me want to go catapult through space.
We're the aliens.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
We're the weird ones. We're the aliens.
I agree.
Actually, I love that question. If you had a if you had the opportunity to go to space.
Yes.
Don't get deep with me on this shit.
Yes, I would go to space. In a heartbeat. Heartbeat.
Good chance you're not coming back.
That's okay.
I'll go.
A good story in my head.
Well, you're homeless. I mean,
exactly.
You don't count.
I would go
when I'm older and my kids were older. Yeah. I would want to go and, like, I would miss them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old are the babies?
2 and 4.
Yeah.
They're okay. Babies.
Bring them with you, man. Space babies.
They would be totally into that. They'd be like, yeah, let's go. Like, we're going to go on a rocket today. They'd be like, awesome.
I have no kids.
Yeah.
I'm unattached to everything.
You have restaurant kids and then you have...
Right.
Yeah.
I have commitment issues. Obviously, given my life.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool, like a homeless space person.
Sick. Kristen, homeless, space person, nomad.
That's a solid fucking resume.
That's great. Bye, guys.
Nice
lobster
fish
is the most important thing in the world.
So those guys were neat. Also, they were all so affable and you know the thing is that when you listen to these interviews, they were actually stopping to stop cooking to talk to us. So yeah. It was really cool. Everybody was really gracious, and they weren't rushed, and all just cool customers, all real chefs. You know, there's like a lot of, you know, like if.
Personalities,
yeah,
out there.
Personality, yeah. You know, no, it's like they're all like, you know, like sometimes you meet these like celebrity chefs and they're not real chefs and they're all kind of like cocky, but everybody we talked to was super cool.
Yeah, and they were working really hard. It was like
they weren't just there to show their face; they were actually in there chopping stuff and cooking it up. So yeah, they were all really impressive. Next up we got another Top Chef contestant, Kevin Gillespie, which. He's one of my favorites from all the shows that I've ever seen. He was just such a sweet guy. Like, and we met his wife, they were just beautiful. And then also Angela De Mayuga from Mission Chinese, which out of all the chefs, I'm kind of friends with her, Mission Chinese. And she's just awesome. And
she was
just
super warm.
Yeah, and she's just killing it over there, too, at Mission Chinese. So I'm so happy for her success. And it was cool that she put it with Kevin. So let's see what they have to say.
Awesome.
Can you tell them your name?
My name's Angela De Mayuga. I'm from Mission Chinese Food in New York City.
Ooh.
Got the full intro.
Yeah.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a Mission Chinese in San Francisco.
You know, like to tell people right off the bat, I always tell people I had the experience, and I like taking people to Mission Chinese for only one reason, is giving them the Szechuan wings.
Yeah. I'm gonna make you eat some right now.
No, it's not only that. It's if you haven't had that much Szechuan peppercorn in your mouth before, you literally think that there's something wrong. Like, you think it's a chemical burn or something?
People have to be talked down.
Yeah.
Because what happens is you eat the Szechuan peppercorn, and then everything that you taste, there's a tingling sensation and numbing that, like, if you drink water, it has this, you still have it for 15
minutes.
Yeah, it
tastes like ice water.
So you kind of just have to, like, be okay with it. People think they're dying sometimes, but they're not.
Yeah,
they're having a good time.
Interesting thing.
Yeah.
I know you use, like, a lot of, like, local and cool, funky ingredients. Is there any ingredients that you've discovered in the last few months? Are you excited about?
Well, we got a bunch of cool. I'm really embarrassed because I don't know the names of them. But we brought a bunch of foraged wild greens and flowers for this little bowl of. We're doing like lettuce wraps, and so we're featuring some of those there that I'm like super excited about.
Yeah.
Like one of them that's like a succulent, tastes like pea shoots.
Ooh,
it's pretty cool.
Actually,
have you ever heard
of goose tongue?
No.
Oh, I love that.
Well, it's so funny because Catherine, our friend, Catherine's like, where did you get goose tongues? And she thought they were actually goose tongues, but it's like this wild grass. It looks like a giant blade of grass, and it has
like shaped like a tongue or something?
Yeah, kind of like the end of it. Look, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen goose tongues, but they're really long and sharp, almost like a snake's tongue. So it's like a blade of grass, but it gets really sharp at the end.
So you guys are using that right now?
Yeah, cool. And some mushrooms, you know.
It's amazing. It's like, it's grass, but it doesn't have that kind of bitter, organic taste that grasses can have.
It actually has a green taste, but also a little bit of a scallion thing. It's really fun. You should check it out. Yeah, goose tongue.
But today we are debuting some weird new thing that I just developed for here. It's
tell
kind
me,
of
tell
gnarly.
Me, tell me.
So when Kevin and I were collaborating on the menu, you're required to use 3 different ingredients for each course.
Did you know Kevin before this?
No, it was my first time meeting Kevin. I know who Kevin is, of course, but we met for the first time over the phone. So we met today.
He's probably my favorite person of any. I haven't watched. I only watched maybe the first 5 or 6 seasons of Top Chef, but he was probably my favorite person.
Watching
he's so sweet.
I watched him. I know who he was for sure. so I was
super
excited.
Cute with his red beard. I wanted to just
think that's like his group. It's called Red Beard or something. I'm like,
oh, so
cute.
tell us about this.
Oh yeah, so when we were collaborating over the phone, we were both kind of stumped at the Parmesan thing because we don't really use that much Parmesan in our restaurants. Yeah. I do, but like for one dish.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can maybe take the dish with Parmesan, I guess.
Yeah.
And so we're doing like a cheesy tapioca dumpling with Parmesan.
Ooh.
So it's made with real. You guys do something kind of similar where you have that like crispy bit of dumpling, don't you guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do one that's like more tuile shaped with a lot of holes in it.
Uh-huh.
So what we're doing is making a steamed and fried dumpling. That's how you do those, the crispy tuile. But then the filling of it is really awesome. We're using cheese curd, Parmesan, tapioca, and steamed cilantro.
Oh my god!
Because the texture of the cheese curd and the tapioca starches together is like really cool.
And it kind of just melts
it comes together like a popper or something.
Oh, yeah.
So when you bite it, it's just like cheese.
Oh my god, that's so exciting!
It'll be fun. And then the tuile, we're just shaving some Parmesan on it, so then it kind of is like a frico or like Parmesan tuile.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'm like, we were just fucking around with it.
What else are you cooking?
And then we're collaborating on the last. So I'm doing two courses.
Can you say hi to us for a second?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
I was just saying, I only watched maybe the first 5 or 6 seasons of Top Chef, but you were probably my all-time favorite guy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you very, very much.
Your red beard is cute.
Yeah.
It's very, well-kept now. Like, it's usually insane, but...
No, it looks
like this?
Well, I shaved my head because I don't really have any hair left, and so I was like... I just kind of looked like I had gotten out of prison. Like, so I was like, I got to, like, trim it up a little bit. It's kind of... out of control.
We're from... This is Alexis. I'm Philip with Heritage Radio. Can you tell everybody your name out there?
Yeah, Kevin Gillespie.
Yep. And where are you based out of?
I'm based out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Awesome. Great. And have you always been in Atlanta?
So I grew up in Atlanta. That's where I'm originally from. But then I actually moved to the West Coast in my early 20s and lived in Oregon for a long time and just came back to Atlanta a few years ago.
Do you remember Bridgetown Grill and Little Five Points?
Absolutely.
I used to be the bar manager.
Nice,
there.
Dude. Totally, I did.
I actually used to live next to the Zestos and Little Five Points.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, those were my stomping grounds back in the day as a punk rock kid. Yeah,
yeah,
like that's where we hung out.
Elmer, you're gonna probably go to Elmer.
I love Elmer. Yeah, steak nachos are the best, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, the quesadilla with cheese.
Yeah.
And a vegan quesadilla I can get with cheese is my favorite quesadilla of all time.
Quesadilla?
It's called a quesadilla because it's kind of hippie, like a hippie thing.
Oh,
got it. You're vegan. That's so cool, man. So what's the name of your restaurant?
Sorry,
in Atlanta?
So in Atlanta, I have 3 restaurants. I have Gun Show, Revival, and Communion.
Okay, cool. And they're all full restaurants?
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Gun Show's kind of modern American. Revival is super traditional Southern.
Amazing.
And Communion is Bavarian, actually.
Oh,
so,
amazing.
Yeah.
Doing
it's kind of random.
Why not?
Right. You doing like sausages?
Yeah, I just really, I'm kind of a little bit too engaged with like German food and German culture. I just think they're super cool. Like, you know, I married a tall German woman. I like all that stuff. So yeah, we do sausages and we do classic like European style beers.
Is this Frau Gillespie?
This is my wife Valerie.
What does Frau mean?
Miss.
Okay.
It means Mrs.
I just said something horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it would mean like older woman though. So like that'd be like your Fraulein.
Fraulein.
Yeah. Yeah. Frau would be like your grandmother.
Have you eaten Miss Chinese? What do you think?
I have.
Like,
yes,
food?
I love it. No, yeah. I'm super. It's one of my favorites.
We were talking about
really loved the old like shithole digs because I thought they were cool. But at the same time, I like
shit about it earlier.
Yeah. But at the same time, I also get like getting a new house. Like you're excited about it. So yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I own a restaurant that's 800 square feet and it's just like so like with no basement. And I'm like, I'm just like, sometimes, like, why
Gun
did
show it? Show is 2,400, and that's small, like, for, but.
Oh,
still,
800 in Brooklyn is considered, like, a mansion.
That's a mansion.
I got a big spot.
Palatial. Yeah.
I know. So what else, man? Are there any ingredients that you've discovered in the last few months that you're psyched about?
Man, what have we been working with recently in the last few months? We've been getting a lot of really weird, very Southern ingredients that I didn't grow up with, and I grew up with a super Southern family, things like service berries. Atlanta, I guess about 70 years ago, like went on this major beautification project, and they planted all these trees and bushes and stuff around Atlanta, but all of them that they planted bear fruit, and it was written into the charter that, that it belonged to the community, but nobody knows that. And so all over Atlanta are trees that are bearing like apples and pears and service berries and wild cherries and things like that. And so we have this guy who now goes online and collects them, which they're all in super dangerous places too. They're like on the side of an interstate. And so he brings them into the restaurant, and we've been playing around with all these things that actually were really important to American cuisine for a long time. Like service berries were one of the things that Native Americans used to cure venison because they're really tannic. Wow. And they will help preserve it. So it's cool. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. We had a guy on our show. This guy, what's his name? Layard? No, Layton. And he actually did a meal where everything was from Central Park, including squab.
Nice.
AKA pigeon.
AKA pigeon, yeah. I was like,
but in Central Park, you can actually go foraging in Central Park.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I just heard Erica Watts talking on HRN News that she, like, at some point in the Lower East Side, like, was shooting pigeons and selling them to fancy restaurants as squab.
That's awesome. That sounds like some shit I would do.
Yeah.
Except I would just shoot them and put them in my own restaurant and be like, yeah, wild harvested.
I don't think she had a place back then.
So what else? What are your plans for the rest of the year? Travel plans?
Yeah, I'm going to Copenhagen for the MAD Symposium and for the MAD Symposium.
Wow, cool.
That's hosted by NOMA at the end of August.
Copenhagen is really dangerous now, so if you need somebody to be a bodyguard,
manservant. Yeah.
Get your coffee in the morning, iron your clothes, carry your luggage if you need. I am available.
Okay.
I work very cheap,
for
free.
Cool. For free. That is cheap.
Kevin, how about you? Travel plans besides?
Traveling constantly. Always super busy. Going to take a little bit of vacation in August.
What's a vacation for you?
Well, you know, we were going to go to
Savannah.
So we're going to go to Montreal. So basically just places to go hang out and eat.
Have you been there before?
I've not, no, really? Which is weird. It's like one of the few places I've not been. Like, we can travel a lot. So.
I recommend the spa cruise.
Okay.
There's a boat, and it's like a traveling spa, and it just cruises around Montreal.
Did you hear that, Val?
No.
Spa cruise in Montreal, like a spa boat that just travels around.
Yeah, you're just like in a robe, sipping champagne,
eating poutine.
Eating poutine.
Also, like rubs your feet.
Yeah. Whenever I get a mani-pedi, I always like to eat poutine. Yeah. And I'm getting a mani-pedi.
Something light to snack on.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Do you guys believe in aliens, yes or no? What do you think about that?
I want there to be aliens. Yeah. I think that's kind of cool. I don't know. Never met one.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. The scientist in me says that, like, there probably reasonably have to be some form of life somewhere else, but I don't believe in them in the sense of, like, what most people think of. Like, I don't think they're going to show up and, like, fuck with all of our stuff. Like, I think they just might be somewhere else.
This is my spatula. Yeah, you can't have it
that's
anymore.
That's, like, their thing. I don't think... of all the shit they could do, like, I don't imagine, like, showing up and, like, you know, I don't know, like, fucking with your car and, like, eating our crops is their thing. Like, it just doesn't seem like... They got better shit to do.
Hey, well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks,
man.
Guys.
Good luck
appreciate
tonight.
It. Yeah, thank
cheers.
You.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Very nice to meet you.
Yes.
Yeah, Angela and Kevin really couldn't be nicer. There was like the sweetest team ever, and you know, just came over and gave us their time. And that's actually the dinner that we ate, because we snagged last minute seats to sit down and eat ourselves, and we were in their section.
Yeah,
I remember they had those little dumplings. Those were phenomenal.
They were delicious. Everything was delicious.
Who do we track down? The final person that we tracked down to talk to was Tom Douglas, and we spoke with his wife, Jackie Cross, as well.
Tom Douglas, who technically me and my business partner, Chance, have two gift certificates to his restaurant from a raffle we won at Heritage 3 years ago.
You guys talked about it.
Yeah.
We'll hear that in just a second. That's
right. And it was really cool. Like, as far as, like... That guy can talk, but in a good way. Like, you know, he talked about all the salmon fishing and all that stuff. And he's just like a textbook and passionate about sustainability, especially with the salmon. Because, you know, he's from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And for those out there that are listening that don't know Tom Douglas, definitely Google him, because he's up to some neat things. And his wife, also super cool. What a really, really great power couple of the Northwest.
Yeah, absolutely. And everything he said, he came at, you know, the sustainability topics, like, from a really practical place. which, you know, is important because you have to remember that you balance that in a restaurant. Like, you have to have your business work at the end of the day. And it was really interesting to hear his point of view as being someone that's local to the Pacific Northwest and just, you know, makes his living as well.
And then also with a, you know, a little street cred, he did beat Morimoto in Iron Chef.
Really?
Which is, you know, Morimoto is the only Iron Chef America that was actually an Iron Chef on Iron Chef Japan. Yeah. So.
That's a high honor.
It's high honor.
You go, Tom Douglas. Yeah. You go.
All right. So here's Tom Douglas and Jackie Cross.
Can you guys say your name for the radio?
Sure. I'm Tom Douglas, Seattle, Washington. All around good guy.
Self-affirmation. Jackie Cross, wife of good guy Tom Douglas. Very lucky lady.
Farmer of our restaurant group.
So I actually have a gift certificate that's about 2.5 years old for your restaurant.
Yeah, your toes.
I have three of them.
So
actually, me and my friend actually.
Are we that shitty? You wouldn't even use a free dinner? You wouldn't even
meal? Free plane flight.
Oh,
free rental car, the whole deal. I haven't been able to get away yet. But me and my friend won a raffle for Heritage Foods like 3 years ago.
Fun.
Yeah, so.
Is that where we. It's a beautiful town.
Harry's Foods out of Portland?
That was for Heritage Radio Network. You guys donated like a really nice thing supporting the network.
Yeah. See, lucked out this time, sir.
Love that.
The funny thing is, about a year before, I actually was out there and I went to a couple of your places. And there's a place, you have a place in. What's it? Pike's Market, what's it called?
Pike Place Market,
on the north end, yeah. So I went in there, I bought every one of your rubs, I bought all of everything.
Nice.
My chefs are crazy.
We got some here.
Oh, really? Yeah, yes. Really, really good. We loved all of them, yeah.
Good, thank you.
So what are you cooking tonight?
We are cooking what they gave us to cook.
Yeah.
Short ribs.
Yes.
Nancy took the first two courses, and I'm cooking short ribs with a little Corona bean stew.
Nice.
And some... burnt lemon and shiitake mushroom relish.
Wow.
And a little chard from our farm.
Yeah, we have
which is awesome.
Spring onions from Prosser Farm, which is her farm. And we also have regular kind of Swiss chard.
Nice. I've been asking a lot of the chefs, are there any ingredients that, you know, every year you find out something new. Is there any ingredients that you guys have discovered in the last few months that you're kind of excited about?
In the last few months...
Last year or something new that's new?
You know, at our farm in Eastern Washington, we are surrounded by hop fields and Concord grape fields. And over the last couple of years, we've been learning to use the hop shoots, kind of like you would pea shoots, pea tendrils, or anything.
And are they just called hop shoots?
Yeah, you just take off the new growth of the hops.
Yeah.
And you pickle them, and then you serve them on. You know, they keep that some of that hop flavor.
Yeah.
Not quite like the blossoms. But you keep that hot flavor, and it is just a fun pickle to use, like pickled ramps or you know, anything, that sort of thing. So.
You know, I have a couple of restaurants here, and I try to be as local and organic and sustainable as I can. But there's so many good things coming out of Washington that I can't even stand it. Yeah.
There's a lot of good wine coming out of Washington. Yes. I know that. And what's your
so many good mushrooms,
you know, one of the things that I would
sea beans, I get sea beans,
sea beans are good.
I love sea beans.
Here's
so
the
much.
Thing you can do for me being back here.
Yeah,
because I got a beef with the chefs of New York. It is a tragedy that you guys are supporting farm salmon in such a big way in this town. Every restaurant we've been to, every deli, like Russ and Daughters this morning, what's that bagel place that we went?
Saddell's.
Every place is supporting farm salmon. And we are desperate to get out the word that wild, if you have to eat wild to save wild.
Yeah.
If you don't eat wild salmon, there's no economy around the fish.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, mining for copper and gold in the headwaters of the last great wild fish runs in the world get destroyed by gold and copper mines. So it's called Pebble Mine, and you guys got to get on board with the thought that if things are frozen properly and slacked out then properly, then it's a fabulous fish, great resource, and the fishermen up there are struggling to make a living because everyone's buying farm salmon, and that includes this town. And I would say... what, 19 out of 20 restaurants that have salmon on the menu, you know, don't have wild fish. It's not right.
It's hard because people like charge a premium for it too, though, you know? And then people won't pay $30 salmon dishes.
Well,
you know?
That's what we sell them for in Seattle. Yeah. People pay it. They pay. I was at several restaurants already with $30 entrees.
I do. I buy lots of wild salmon, first of all, and I buy it whenever I can get it. I get it from the Aquilu. I actually drove up there and hung out with them. I'm actually friends with one of the guys named Zach now, and it's
so that's so the beautiful. Indian fishery. Then there's a commercial fishery, and then there's the Alaskan fishery, all certified by the Monterey Bay Aquarium, MSC certified, and yet chefs around the country that are all local. They all want, like, the freshest, best for our...
They still go with the farm salmon.
And they still go with the farm salmon, which is just not a good thing. Yeah. So I'd like to see us, maybe Heritage Radio... No, not a boycott, just education.
Education. Do you think that's what it comes down to, is just a lack of education?
They don't have a freaking clue. And I don't think they care. And that's the tragedy, is that they're not caring enough. They care about organic foods. They care about where their dairy comes from.
I come up with this problem, or against this problem a lot. My day job is selling meat. And I always say that you're not asking the right question when you ask, is it organic? Because that's the right question if you're talking about vegetables. But we're not talking about vegetables. We're talking about animal welfare. We're talking about land stewardship and all these other important ideas that come first, questions. And for us, it's heritage breeds.
And it's kind of where sustainability starts with our team. You know, if you're out there thinking about salmon, right, and you're thinking about the fisherman that caught it, what species it is, how was it caught, dragnet, gillnet, troll, whatever, and then you're thinking about how it was bled right after it came out of the water, and then how it was iced, and then did it make the dock in the first day, and then did it get to Seattle, and then you pay your cook ship $9 an hour to cook it. Now, what is sustainable? So
sustainable business practice needs to come.
Sustainable is throughout our industry.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't find the goddamn cook today, because we treated them like shit for so long. So
we're certainly feeling that problem in New York. Yeah. But they still start cooks between, you know, $9 to $11 an hour in New York City.
Yeah.
It's so expensive
to
live here.
And $50 a pound fish.
Yeah.
$50 a pound meat.
You know, all fish in New York City now has to be frozen before it's served.
No, I did not know that, and it's not unusual. I mean, the Japanese have done that forever in sushi bars, right?
But it's now. I mean, Phil can talk to the regulation more, but it's now
all the more reason
in place.
All the more reason to buy
salmon
that's frozen.
Wild salmon.
It's proven frozen properly. Handled properly, frozen properly,
and thawed properly is the key. Right? Yeah. You can't run it underwater, right? Yeah. You have to thaw it properly.
Yeah. It just sounds like the wild fisheries and the wild fishermen probably need help marketing, getting the word out, and the education.
We do, because we need the fishermen, and if we don't, like I said, we get what we get. We get a copper mine in the last great wild fish run in the world, the Bristol Bay Sockeye Run. 50 million fish a year come back every year. It is an incredible resource. We're managing it properly, and yet I come to New York City, and 19 out of 20 restaurants is serving farm salmon.
But then why didn't somebody come up with a good idea to like snag all of it, get a giant freezer, and sell it for $8 a pound instead of us having to pay $30 a pound?
No, you don't have to pay $30. I guarantee it.
Not $30, but you know.
You buy off species. If you want to buy a Copper River King, you're going to pay $30 a pound. Yeah. But if you want to buy Copper River Sockeye or Yukon River Sockeye or Bristol Bay Sockeye, you're looking at $8 a pound.
Do you know the Illamina Fish Company?
Elemental Fish Company?
Illamina.
No.
They're local to Brooklyn, but they fish it in Bristol Bay every year. Bring it to New York.
And also Sea to Table does too, don't they? Sea to Table.
That's Christopher Nicholson, but it is a small minority in New York.
You can't serve wild king salmon, but there's beautiful wild sockeye. There's beautiful wild silver. There's beautiful wild kita. Yeah. You know, I can't serve king either because I can't afford to sell it in my restaurant. Yeah. It's if it goes on my menu, it's $50, $60 a portion.
Yeah.
I don't want to sell it. And I don't need to sell it.
Yeah.
There's beautiful fish out there.
Yeah.
We have to support it.
I wish I could educate people better, faster on you know, freezing, properly freezing, and just bringing that into your home.
Yeah. It's awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. So,
are you in New York for a while? I would love to have you on the show and just have an episode of
just tomorrow.
Salmon.
We can talk salmon for a half hour. I'm here tomorrow. So.
Yeah.
I have an 11.
We can even schedule a phone interview with you.
Sure, whatever. I'm at the Greenwich Hotel.
Awesome.
But I think it's an important topic that needs to be discussed.
I would love to just have a full, dedicate time to it, because it's always so interesting. What are the real things that are driving change?
I'm actually going to Bonnaroo in like 2 weekends to talk about like what's the one food hack that would move the world in a more sustainable direction.
That's him.
And it's one of those things is education on protein consumption for me.
Well, there's a couple of educations. One is that it seems counterintuitive that you have to eat wild to save wild, right?
Yeah,
you have to create that economy around the fish or nobody's going to fish. You know, nobody can fish for it. Nobody can sustain themselves. So instead they go into mining or they go into some other thing, tourism. They go into some other thing that pays their bills. But if you can create a sustainable economy around fish that's well managed, then you have a perfect fishery. So if, by the way, you want to know more about it, we helped produce a movie called The Breach. And it's an awesome movie about wild fish.
Netflix.
It's won a couple of documentary awards.
Amazing. So.
All right, it's such a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, you too.
I'll come cash in those. I'll come cash in those gift certificates.
Don't. I've already written it off.
It's very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
So yeah, that was Tom Douglas and Jackie Cross. They were really, really cool to meet in person, and. Yeah, and also, I don't know if you know this, but he sells us, like, steak spices, like marinades and dry rubs, and you can get them online. They're just awesome. I was out in Seattle a couple years ago, and I actually bought some of the dry rubs, and they just couldn't be better. Probably my favorite dry rub on the market, actually. Yeah.
Did you ever live in Seattle?
Nope.
You travel there. You have that, like, crazy story of being taken by the Twilight fixer.
I've been getting, whenever I can get it, I've been getting salmon from Makuni Wild Harvest, which is now Solex, but once in a while they get the salmon from the Quileut Native Americans up there, which are the werewolves from Twilight. So I got it was yeah. I had to, it's a couple hours outside of Seattle too. You had to really drive up there toward the Canadian border, but it was so beautiful and so cool. Yeah, and actually brought back salmon.
Yeah,
I put it on dry ice and wrapped it in tape and put it in the styrofoam box and just put it in my checked-in luggage. Yeah, it was super neat. Well, that was fun, little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was so much fun to go to the event. You're the best guest, the best date.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
My favorite partner in the world.
Yeah, you're my favorite partner. Well, everybody have a good day and happy Sunday.
Yeah, everyone, happy Sunday.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.